Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yankee Nation podcast presented by Wegman Enterprises and NYC Sports Nation. I'm Austin Verhill, and along with Tim LaDuca and Nick Giovanelli, today we're going to talk about the bracket that finally finished. We have Austin's movie review with a movie that I still can't remember the name of, and we have a few other things to talk about. So without further ado, how about it?
You're listening to a New York Sports Nation production, enhancing your New York sports fan experience.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk.
So before we bring up anything, I'm going to bring up something to you guys that I haven't told you yet. So, do you remember last episode where I think it was Nick, you brought up the idea of streaming MLB The Show?
I think you did, but I agreed.
No, you brought it up.
I think I brought it up.
You might have brought it up, actually,
I didn't bring it up.
I know I didn't bring it up, so it had to be Tim.
So Tim brought it up.
So I went into looking into it, and I figured, like, it'd be a good idea to stream. So I looked into it, and there is a thing through the PlayStation that you could stream, but I don't like that idea, because I don't know if you guys watch streams often, but when I'm watching Twitch, I cannot stand when they don't have music playing and it's just like silent. I'm not a fan. So I looked into that, and I have purchased a capture card so that we can start streaming, and it would be an entertaining watch. So this is gonna happen.
Word.
So breaking news. I want it to be more than us. I want to see if anyone else in Wegren would participate. Like, I'm talking like Wegren, like all of Wegren.
Or some fans big. Too.
That'd what? Be
cool. Or some fans if they want to play with us.
Yeah, like, I'm talking, like, Philly, Dallas.
Ooh.
I don't know if D.C. started yet, but I know we have a D.C. branch. L.A.
Boston.
Like, I got to talk to Ricky about this, but I like the idea of it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So.
Down to give someone the works in the show.
Yeah, let's see who wins, because MLB is doing it right now, and there's a few players that are really good at the game.
Joey Gallo,
and I think Blake Snell are the two.
Yeah, Snell's a streamer regardless.
Dwight Smith Jr. is, like, on fire right now.
Yeah, so.
Now I want to find out the standings.
Yeah, I haven't really paid attention to that. It doesn't necessarily interest me.
I watch the streams only, regardless anyway. So, like, when
I just
MLB
want Tommy Canley to do well.
Canley's doing, he's doing okay. He's not doing great.
He's fourth in the East.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well,
because Snell is unreal.
Snell is unreal, but Eduardo only played 12 games.
Eduardo Rodriguez is awful.
He's 2-15. Among the worst records in the league, Carlos Santana is 3-14. Carl Edwards Jr. is 3-11. Ryan Stanek is 7-13. Cole Tucker 3-16. And David Dahl is 5-13.
Who just got obliterated? Like 20-0. Oh. And he called him up and said, please, please give me some mercy. Did you see that?
I don't remember.
Did you guys see the video of Joey Gallo with the main menu?
Funny.
That was hilarious. And they updated it. They changed it.
Why would they have him striking out?
Yeah, they had a picture of him striking out and a picture of him, like, looking in the camera like he's a madman.
Joey Gallo, underrated.
In real life, I don't know.
I could see both sides of the argument, because there's people out there who I don't think look at him enough, but there's people out there who look at him far too, like, put him up far too much.
I guess what I mean is there are people who don't even know who he is.
Yeah, okay, true.
You gotta know who Joey Gallo
is. It's very much in where, like, you're at one side of the spectrum with Joey Gallo, where you're either, you act like he's the best player who ever lived, or you don't even know that he exists.
Where are you?
I'm the one that's in the middle, because I don't think he's...
Oh, so you're the perfect one, of course.
Well, I think I'm more leaning towards I forget that he exists sometimes.
Oh, okay.
So do I, because I...
First of all, I forget anyone on the Rangers exists, because after, like, 2012, who cares? Or 2013, one of those years.
See, every team has, like, a poster child.
They don't.
And he's definitely Texas's, like, the one that every Texas fan stands. Like, yeah. Ours would probably be Glaber right now, right?
No, it's Judge.
Yeah. But Glaber's, like...
It's still Judge.
I think Glaber could be the face of the franchise. I think he could take over.
No, I
see Glaber more of like a, like, we're unnecessarily crazy about him, and Judge, we're rightfully crazy about him.
I think that Glaber will end up being a better ball player than Judge, but Judge is always going to be more popular than Glaber.
And I don't know.
I don't know either. I see Glaber totally taking over.
I see Glaber taking over, but I don't... I think that Aaron Judge will end up the better player based on stats. If he can stay healthy, you know, not get thrown at his wrist.
Alright, but...
Why do you say Glaber could end up being the better player? No, I want to know.
I just think that he is... I just think he's going to be a better player. Like, he's... I don't know how to explain, like, why. I just...
Middle infielder.
I see...
For power, like, and average.
Yeah. But, like, when he came out, we weren't expecting power.
No, we weren't at all.
And we got power. And his swing... He's got one of the most beautiful swings I've ever seen. With that high leg kick, like, straight up Albert Pujols, the man.
I think Aaron Judge will end up better. But I think they're both going to be amazing, and that's all that really matters.
That's weird. You think Glaber will be the franchise, but Judge will be better, and Austin thinks
the opposite.
Judge will be the face, and Glaber will be better.
Yeah.
You Where know do what? You stand, Tim?
Yeah,
I got Glaber on both.
Oh, you think he's going to be better and the face?
Yes.
Maybe,
Glaber
honestly
has a lot more time left than Judge.
First of all, I am okay either way, because either way they're both going to be very good. And it's going to be nothing but great for us. So I'm cool with that. I just see it happening. I don't think anyone's going to take... And I think once Judge signs an extension, he's going to be named a captain.
I can't wait to see breaking... Aaron Judge signed extension with Yankees. Oh, God.
And he'll join the pantheon of Derek Jeter, Thurman Munson, Roger Peckinpah. What other Yankee captains are there?
Well, Babe Ruth was a captain for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Thurman Munson? Did you say Munson?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lou Gehrig, Greg Nettles, Don Mattingly, Hal Chase.
I don't even know who Hal Chase is.
Hal Chase, I think he was the first one.
Oh, okay. So that was a long time ago.
It goes Hal Chase, Roger Peckinpah, Babe Ruth for the few days, Lou Gehrig, Thurman Munson, Greg Nettles, Don Mattingly, Derek Jeter, and to be named.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean Aaron Judge.
I heard a bad take after Jeter retired, where they were like, I don't think we could have another captain again. I was like, what?
We may not have a captain like him.
Well, we're just going to retire captaincy because...
Well, most teams don't have a captain.
I know, and I don't like that. I like having a captain.
with baseball, it's different because you just named it, where in other sports, like football, you have the C.
Unless you're Jason Veritek.
Hockey, you have the C or the A. Soccer, you have the captain's armband. Is it baseball? It's not really a visual thing.
Except if you're Jason Veritek.
But we don't talk about him.
No, we don't like him.
Because he doesn't take off his catcher's mask to fight people. Because, you know.
Yeah, that still pisses me off.
A loser.
Speaking about pissing us off and the Red Sox.
Oh God.
I
have half a mind to just not even talk about it because it's pissing me off so much.
I have half a mind to not talk about it either because it's not a big deal.
I am honestly
not true.
With Tim on this one.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
How many times have you guys agreed on something?
We subtly agree on things a lot, but definitely not to this magnitude.
This is a big thing.
It's a big thing to agree on.
Now, I thought that this was going to be big because reports were, like, after MLB came to a decision that it got, it came out that the Red Sox disagreed with the decision they made. And I was like, okay, something happened here. And if you remember, we were supposed to get this like 2 weeks after the Astros announcement.
But no.
That didn't happen.
We had to wait till April 22nd for nothing.
They had to they reopened it. I was like, okay, so they found something else. Or tipped off on something else. And then it came out that it was just extremely underwhelming. Now, I have to read the report, exactly. But, I mean, Tim, did you read the report? I feel like you're someone that would read the report.
No, I didn't read the report, and I haven't renewed my athletic subscription, so I had to do a lot of piecing together. And I can try to answer some questions here.
Just lay it out. What did they do?
They did what most teams are doing, but this was just kind of a carryover effect of the Apple Watch scandal. Players would go into the replay room and watch their at-bats and also grab some signs to relay from second base. But then our boy, JT Wilkins, who is getting hammered for this. Is that his name?
It's JT something. It's either Wilk... I gotta find it.
Well, my boy JT, he was taking this as... He was the replay monitor guy, so I think he was... the one
JT
who,
Watkins.
JT Watkins, dang it. Well, my boy, Mr. Watkins, he's the guy who is on the phone when the managers say, are we challenging this? And while he was doing that noble job, he was also unnobly taking extenuous notes and going to extreme lengths before, during, which is the problem, and after. Because before and after, this is completely fair game. But during, he was decoding signs and relaying it to players who came down to the replay room to take some at-bats near the cages or came down to watch their at-bats. So he was kind of facilitating this so that players on second base can steal the signs. So no, there was no mechanism like the Astros, and that was clear. They were just doing a little bit more extracurricular with the replay room, which is now off-limits during games. I don't know how they're going to work that into challenges.
How about we just get rid of the replay room?
Yeah, that's another...
If you can't use it during games, what's it there for?
Well, first, the reason it's there is because, go check to see if we should challenge this. That shouldn't be how you challenge things.
Do they have iPads in the dugout?
Either...
You just watch video on those?
No. Either... You should not have to watch the play first to see if you're going to challenge it.
Yep.
It should be like literally every other sport where you challenge it if you think it was wrong.
Yeah, that would speed everything up.
That would speed everything up, and it would get rid of those, did his foot sort of almost come off of the bag there?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be what it's for.
You might have just figured out our problem, Austin.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Send this to Rob Manny over there.
It's the stupidest thing in baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, you should challenge on a on an instant.
Yes.
It's not there like, be... give me a second. Let me just go watch the replay real quick.
Hand up. Hold on. Let's see if they're going to review this.
Yeah, let's wait 15 seconds to see if we're then going to get a two-minute review.
15 is, I mean, they're doing 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is the rule, but it goes over 30 seconds sometimes.
They do a 30-second look to see if they're going to review it. And then, on top of that, it's such a close play that they're doing a two-minute review. Awful. I hate that. Cody, what are you doing? My dog's making weird noises.
I read an article that had a lot of stuff from Ian Kinsler that is helping out my argument that we need to just give up on this or completely address it head on. I'll get to that in a second, but previously, this is from Joe Couture, so if he wants to get some credit, there you go, Joe. Previously, former 2018 Red Sox Ian Kinsler inferred all good teams have a similar system in place. Quote, they just had a very good system at relaying from second base to home plate, and that was it. Honestly, he told Dallas Radio in February, in the playoffs, we couldn't. You're playing against the best teams. All the best teams know what's going on. That means they're doing it too, so they're changing their signs every pitch or every at bat. He says, in my opinion, it's not anywhere close to what's going on in Houston. The Red Sox were just a tight-knit group when I was injected into the team in the middle of the season. It was a lot like the Rangers clubs that I was on, where it was just a very tight-knit group, and their system was flawless, Kinsler said. They just had a very good system of relaying from second to home plate, and that was it, honestly. So he's kind of leaving out the part of the replay system, which we know definitely happened, but he's inferring, one, that all good teams know that it's going on because they're doing it too, and that it was happening in Texas back in 2011, 2010.
Yeah, but I'm starting to get like it's starting to get to the point where people they're getting mad just because they hear sign stealing, and the thing with sign stealing is there's so many different levels of it. Like what the Astros did was horrible, but I honestly I'm not mad at the Red Sox.
If you use technology to sign steal, then it becomes a problem.
True. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have gotten punished, and they did get punished. Yeah. But the thing is, people are freaking out that the Red Sox didn't get what the Astros got. Or worse.
But they didn't do what the Astros did.
Exactly. That's my whole point.
It was a very significant... It was a much less significant punishment. If
because
that's
it was
kind of word for it, because
it was a less significant crime.
Yeah, they got the correct punishment for the crime, but in my head, I already hate the Red Sox, and I wish more happened to them. But they didn't do enough to justify a bigger punishment, and that's what sucks for me.
And their punishment, by the way, that everyone seems to be freaking out over. Is they got their second round pick on, and the guy got fired.
No, he didn't.
Suspended.
Oh, sorry. Suspended for a year.
Suspended for 2 years.
2 years?
He is suspended through the playoffs in 2020, and he cannot do the same job in 2021.
So what's he going to do in 2021? He's going to end up getting fired.
I doubt it.
He's just a fall man.
Yeah, where are they going to put him, though?
The Red Sox would have fired him already.
I don't know.
I think, anyway.
I'm not saying because, like, he's disgraced. I'm just saying that, like, hey, he's not going to be able to do anything for a whole year. What are we going to do with this guy?
Hire someone else to do his job.
Yeah, exactly, and then he would fire him.
Yeah, but I think they would have fired him already.
They may have.
Cora coming back now, or is he fired for good?
Cora's coming back next year.
And I don't. 100%. That one makes no sense to me.
He didn't do anything wrong on the Red Sox in the Houston scandal.
I'm more worried about the Houston scandal. I don't.
They should have released Cora's punishment with the Houston report.
Yes.
Because they released his punishment as being what? He's suspended through the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
So for his only because... Yes. Yeah. So what's the point of saying... It's just because... Wait, he got fired by the Red Sox, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So what's the point of adding his punishment onto the Red Sox report?
Well, because I guess they wanted to see what he did there before they put out his punishment. Because I think if he did more, he would have gotten an even longer punishment.
Okay, that makes sense. And he liked a tweet. Let me find it.
2020, when liking tweets is incriminating. Yeah. It is. It's crazy. It's crazy.
People look at other people's likes.
We're going to get some of that tonight in the draft.
Oh, let me tell you something. If Chase Young isn't picked number two, you're going to see the worst out of me.
Huh.
I'm gonna freak out.
So, the Red Sox tweeted some stuff. Then Alex Cora replied to them. And then someone tweeted 2021 with the eyes looking over emoji. And he liked it. And I assume people are taking that as he's coming back in 2021. And I agree with it because he probably will be.
Speaking about liking tweets me and incriminating.
Looking at you, Manny Machado.
There was a picture of Blake Snell in a Yankees uniform. And someone replied, "I need it so bad," in all caps. And that tweet has two likes, and one of them is Blake Snell.
Now, you see, with that, though, I don't think Blake Snell is the kind of guy that's just going to go to the Yankees from his
He's team big that's friends
a rival with them.
Big friends with Judge.
I don't think he'll come to the Yankees, ever. I'd love it, but I doubt it.
Well, what was
a little
it that
uno
I was,
dos?
He isn't.
Now?
He isn't a free agent until 2024. So until after the 2023 season. But maybe. I mean, hey, they trade their best players all the time, so maybe we'll get him.
But will they trade?
At you,
them,
Tommy.
Will Finn. They trade him to a division rival?
Who knows.
What would we give up for Blake Snell?
A lot.
It'd have to be a lot.
I'd give up a lot for Blake Snell.
Would you get? Would Frazier be a piece of that trade?
I think he'd have to be.
Bro, if Frazier's part of trade bait in 2023, we got different problems.
No, we're talking about like now. I think we're talking about
right now.
Yeah.
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 That's funny though.
Yeah, if Clint Frazier's still trade bait.
No, the thing is, we can't trade Frazier because then who are we gonna say is trade bait for the next trade?
Floreal.
If Frazier's gone, who the hell are we gonna talk about?
It's gonna be Floreal.
Tyler Wade.
Because I don't think Floreal is gonna beat out Dominguez in anyone's mind.
Hey, Wait!
I am ready.
Misheard you.
Okay. I'm ready for Jason Dominguez. And
so is the world.
Floreal plays the same position, so buddy.
Could shift them over. Wanna play left.
And Floreal was really bad this year. And
yeah, his stock
dropped
so much in 2019.
He dropped out of the Yankees top 10. I think he definitely dropped out of the top 100 prospects in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Our top is still... I think Dominguez was our number one. And I mean,
yeah, I think he's not ready until 2024, and I can't handle that.
Well, I think... Well, that's all obviously like a guesstimate. I see him maybe 2024, that's 4 wow. years away. I think he'll probably be 2023. Like, he'll be...
He's, like, 16.
He's 17. He just turned 17.
The pipeline, the MLB pipeline has Floreal at number 3 for us.
Oh.
I thought he dropped way down.
But he
I guess he just dropped down from top 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely dropped from top 100 because after a bunch of our trades, our farm system, it's obviously not bad, but I think we're like middle of the road farm system.
We also had players come up.
Yes.
Remember when Gleyber Torres was our number one prospect?
I do. That worked
and
out.
I was at his debut.
I was at Gleyber Torres' debut. He didn't get a hit.
He was there, though.
He was definitely there. I saw his first at bat. I was eating a grub tub.
Nice.
Love them.
I miss those so much, man.
Yeah, honestly.
If I go all 2020 without one, it's a problem.
It's a big problem. They got rid of straws, though, at Yankee Stadium. Except for the grub tub, because, like, obviously you can't have it without a straw. So, like, I ordered, I think, like, a Mountain Dew. And you know how, like, the cups are big, right? So
yeah, they're souvenir cups.
It's, like, filled to the brim. And I'm like, how do I walk with this thing without a lid and a straw? They're like, sorry, we can't do straws anymore.
You drink some.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a bunch of people behind me. But what were you going to say? You were going to say something.
I was going to say, at number one, we have Davey Garcia. Ooh. Whose stock went way up.
Oh, Davey Garcia is going to be something.
And Schmidt.
Schmidt is my guy. 100% my guy.
I've been on the Schmidt train for a minute.
On Clark Schmidt. I'm hopping on this train early.
I've been on the Schmidt train since Austin tweeted Schmitty is dealing or whatever. And I turned on the game and I could confirm he was dealing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was sitting in English class. No, science class. And I had it on my phone. And I was just watching this guy deal. And I was like, for the love of God, please don't ever start this class. I think I said I wanted to come out for a third inning, but he's definitely not going to come out for a third inning. And then he didn't.
But then he came out for a third inning.
Uh-huh.
And then Tim tweeted CEO of wanting him to come out for a third inning. Yeah, but I'm a big Clark Schmidt guy.
Hey, I mean, if Clint Frazier doesn't make the team and Clark Schmidt does, I think we might have to change our face of the pod.
No, we can't change it until he gets traded.
I mean, we're all on the Schmidt train.
Democracy. I'd still vote for Clint.
Yeah, I'd still go for Clint, too.
Well, then I'd
need to sway one of us.
Yeah, Clint's the guy.
You guys are much bigger Clint guys than I am. I'm a Clint guy, but you guys are like... You're the CEO. You're the CEOs of wanting Clint Frazier to start left field for the Yankees.
I was at the... Remember the Red Sox game where he had the error in right field and then didn't talk to the media afterwards? I was at that game.
That is where I started to drop off.
I was at that game and I was sitting... I had very good seats at that game. I was sitting literally right to the side of him. Like, if he just turned his head 180 degrees... To the right?
So if he turned around?
To the left. Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking of...
180 degrees is turning around.
90 degrees to his left, he would see me staring at him. So he dropped that ball, and everyone around me was screaming at him, and I was sitting there like, let's relax. It was one play.
You're doing great, buddy.
Yeah, I defend him through anything. It was like...
Speaking of talking to the media, though.
That's what pissed me off. You can't let your teammates talk for you when you make a mistake like that.
But I was going to say, do you need Red Sox to apologize? Like, you needed Houston to apologize so badly?
No.
No.
What's the difference? They cheated. They got punished for cheating.
Well, the Red Sox did apologize, but, like, the players didn't apologize. But the team.
Why don't you need them to apologize? But you need Houston to. I don't get it.
Was way worse. Houston's disgraced the game of baseball with what they did. The Red Sox didn't disgrace the game of baseball.
Dude, they were both sign stealing though. Electronically.
Like I just said, that there's different levels to it, and so there's different punishments and different reactions.
I am so sick of the different levels of cheating, and what does that even mean?
There's different levels. There's worse cheating.
Cheating is cheating. From pine tar to steroids to using a trash can to sign steal,
so what you just said was that, so stealing is stealing then, right? So you should get the same amount of punishment if you steal a candy bar from a convenience store that you should if you steal gold bars from a bank.
That's different from
it's the same thing.
A game.
We're
talking about human life and a game with specific rules about
perfect
what you can
analogy.
And cannot do.
That was a perfect analogy. Yes, it was.
But it's baseball. It's not robbing banks.
So?
Can you steal signs? Yes or no? Can you steal candy bars? Yes or no? No. So you get punished for the amount it was worth.
Yes, which is the same thing that just happened in here, where they got punished less.
But what's the difference between some different versions of sign stealing? I don't get why we want to put steroid users in the Hall of Fame. We want to tar and feather the Houston Astros, and the Red Sox didn't do anything wrong, and pine tar's okay.
Well, they did things wrong.
What is part of the game as cheating, and what is not part of the game as cheating? I don't know why we have such a different. Don't tell me that no, because if you think sign stealing shouldn't be a part of the game, then neither should pine tar.
No, that's not the same thing at all.
Yes, it is. It's cheating.
No. Yeah, it is.
Pine tar should be allowed in the game.
It's
not.
It's cheating.
No, because what pine tar did.
It's not allowed by the rule book.
Let me finish talking. It's not allowed, so you should get punished for doing it. But it should be allowed because pine tar does the same exact thing that rosin does, just more effectively. It doesn't change the spin rate.
More
all it does is advance grip. That's it. So pine tar should be allowed.
So the second base, like runner on second base stealing signs should be allowed,
but
using
with themselves,
a camera too.
Yeah.
It's more effective though.
It doesn't matter.
They're looking for a better competitive advantage.
It's knowing what's happening as opposed to trying to figure out
what's happening. We are all we know that a lot of teams are sign stealing.
Tim just took your point and made it his own.
Tim is not Tim. This conversation's over because none of us are
swaying.
No, it's not. I'm not swaying you, and you're not swaying me here. So it's over.
Okay, but I want to get the message out. What happened to baseball where some cheating is allowed and other cheating is not? And it's magnified in this whole Red Sox scandal. The people who are pissed at the Houston Astros, while I agree with that they shouldn't be, I'm trying to reveal a bigger point. Cheating is cheating, but apparently not in baseball. You can cheat in some things. You can do cheating in other things. You can cheat so much that you hit 850 home runs, but you can't steal signs. But you can use a banned substance. That's fine because everyone does it. Cheating has become regulated, and at the same time is the worst thing that's ever happened in baseball, and I'm just so confused with it.
Okay, and I completely disagree with you. So let's move on to the movie review that I didn't watch all of because
I
didn't like it. Go ahead.
That's dumb. Okay. Now, Tim, would you consider sign stealing on second base actual cheating? Okay. Because in my head, if you're on second and you're just looking and no one's seeing you do it, to me, that's more of like strategy. Because like you're taking advantage of them not covering their signs correctly or whatever. And from what you saw with your own eyes, you go back and you relay it to the batter. Then you talk about it in the dugout. But then using a camera.
You're right here. And my issue is I don't really even have a problem with it.
With the camera or sign stealing?
With sign stealing and then what the Red Sox did. I'm taking this stance as a reaction to the way Houston was handled.
I understand.
I was okay with everything until I wasn't okay with Houston. But once I started seeing this double standard where some things are allowed and some things aren't, I now have to take a stance where I'm against steroids, pine tar, sharpening your spikes, chewing tobacco, anything that's against the rules in baseball. I am now completely against it to the point where I want people kicked out of baseball because of the way people treated Houston. But now the Red Sox did slightly less cheating, so it's not that bad. Why?
Wait, so if you are now fully against everything...
I'm against everything.
You don't want Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame?
No.
You don't want A-Rod in the Hall of Fame?
No. He used steroids. Andy Pettit, no. Jose Altuve, no. Any Astro, no. Any Red Sox now, no. They cheated.
David Ortiz.
Cheated.
He cheated before all this happened.
But you know, see what I'm saying? Why is some cheating okay and other cheating is not?
I get
your point. I understand what you're saying. I just wanted to distinguish the sign stealing on second base from all the other stuff that's been going on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to the movie review. This wasn't a movie. It was a documentary. And I wasn't that interested in it the entire time.
Aw, that's too bad.
Yeah, Like, it wasn't a bad documentary. Like, it was put together well. But I didn't care about the story.
I guess I did more because I saw a lot of parallels to what's about to happen with minor league baseball being cut down by 40 teams. So, in theory, we're supposed to have a lot more independent teams. But the movie was called The Battered Bastards of Baseball, and it follows an actor, Bing Russell, who took a terrible single-A team in Portland and made them into a very exciting independent league team. But then once they were so successful at beating up all the established organized clubs, some teams started sending down their players just to beat them and eventually used the rule book to get rid of Portland's baseball team.
By the way, I
just really liked it.
His son is Kurt Russell.
Yeah, he played. That's crazy.
Like, can we just bring that up? Like, they didn't mention that, really.
Well, I mean, it's Kurt Russell, and he was...
He was in it, but, like, they didn't
really...
He
was talking about his dad.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's why they didn't really say it much, because his son and his wife were talking about him.
I can't believe he was a DH. That's crazy.
The thing that got me, like, kind of upset with it was how... When the Mavericks were like being gonna be taken out of baseball, because didn't they like start? Wasn't a major league team gonna come and make a team in Portland or something?
A major league team?
Yeah, they were gonna bring an affiliate down there or something.
Oh. Yeah, that's what happened in the end.
Yeah, that got me so upset. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, they were just mad at how good they were doing.
That's not right.
Yeah, I know.
It got me upset.
Portland.
How about the Yankee pitcher?
Sports teams.
What?
Portland deserves sports teams.
True.
Like they got
they have the Trailblazers.
And that's it.
They have the.
I mean, they have college.
They have the Timbers in the MLS, but I don't think.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter. No one really cares about the MLS.
I like the MLS. I got into it last year. And then I watched the first game of this season, and then we didn't get anything after that.
Yeah. Lefty Gomez, baby.
But
yeah.
They deserve a hockey team. I mean, they have an arena, so get them a hockey team. Get them a baseball team. That Portland can be a good sports town. They love the Trailblazers there.
It's just Seattle South.
Yeah,
and Seattle's getting a hockey team.
Seattle is getting.
So we might not see a Portland hockey team for a while.
It'll be a while, but okay. Here's a fun little activity. If base were to expand, because eventually they're going to expand. Where? are they going to expand to?
Where I think they will, or where do I want them to?
Give me both.
Give both.
I want them to go to Vancouver and Buffalo. I think they will go to Nashville and Omaha.
Okay.
I like Omaha.
Okay, Omaha and Portland.
I want Carolina and Nashville.
Carolina's a state.
Well, there's two of them. But
Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, neither of them go by north or south.
Well, that's because they're only in north, so they can't go by south.
Well, they don't go by north either. So Carolina, and I want Nashville too.
So are you saying you'll take a baseball team in either one?
New Orleans would be cool too.
New Orleans would be baller. Mexico City?
I think it's going to be even longer till we see an established team for any league in Mexico.
We're going to get an NFL team in London before we get anything in Mexico.
Well, I mean, they're playing in Mexico.
Yeah, and they play all the time. London.
Mexico is a higher elevation than
Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Is it really?
Let me tell you what we don't need.
That baseball would be so fun.
Now, yeah, he hit 1,000 home runs in his career, but I don't like the elevation he played in, so I'm not going to let him in the Hall of Fame. Ugh, I don't need more of that. Can we squash that forever? Can we get rid of Colorado talk in the Hall of Fame talk? Please?
Then you'll have to take the team out of Colorado.
God, I hate that whole thing. Tim, you brought this up when we were talking about it, and it was a great point. It's like, the people that bring that up are also the people that hate advanced analytics. But the one analytic that they love is the fact that Colorado is at a higher elevation.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Like they just grab all the stuff that's applicable to their argument.
How far was Trevor Story's home run? What, last year? Like 525 feet or something.
And I think because of it, people underrate players that play in Colorado.
Yeah.
Trevor Story is underrated.
Yeah, he is. He's one of the better shortstops in baseball.
Field. Like, elite. The dude has speed and can hit for power.
Hey, didn't we find out they were the best shortstop third base combo when we did? You did the Angels,
I said Rockies, it was the Angels. You said it was the A's. And it turned out we were both wrong. It was the Rockies.
Mm-hmm. Or were you guys talking defense?
We were talking defensively. Because I was saying Rendon.
I mean, Matt Chapman, man.
Yeah, Chapman or Simeon, but I was thinking Simmons and Rendon. Like,
but then when you combine the defensive Story and Arenado, it's more than either of those two combined.
Yeah.
What would be your best defensive infield right now?
Possible.
Okay, yeah. Story's at short, right? Oh no, Simmons. Simmons is that short.
Simmons
is that short because we're only talking
Chapman,
defensively.
Simmons. Who's playing second?
I'm trying to think of a second baseman. There's one that I could think of, but I don't want to say it.
Are you thinking LeMahieu?
No, I'm not thinking LeMahieu.
Are you thinking Altuve?
I am thinking Altuve.
Let's put in DJ LeMahieu then, baby.
Okay, great.
Is Altuve that good at defense?
He's pretty good defensively. Why am I? Why can't I think of like a good second baseman?
Jerickson Profar's defense was good, I think.
Remember when the Yankees almost got him?
No, I actually don't.
I remember I was in a pizzeria and.
Ryan McMahon.
Where does he play?
Steve. Colorado.
So, that's what I thought.
I'm on Fangraphs, and I'm looking at fielding stats for second baseman in 2019. And at number one, they have Colton Wong.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Go Colton Wong. And then who's playing?
What other names were there? I can't think of anyone.
He's got 19 defensive runs saved.
But who else? Who's like Altuve second?
Yolmer Sanchez on the White Sox.
Didn't they not? Yeah, they didn't they not tender him?
I don't remember.
I think he might be a free
agent.
Oh,
wait. Oh, yeah. Now I remember what you're talking about. Let's take. I'm looking. He's on the Giants.
Yeah, like, why did they ever get rid of him?
I couldn't tell you.
And he's unlikely to make the Giants roster.
Then they have Kipnis, Adam Frazier, Ozzy Albies, and Joe Panik. That's up to six.
Ooh, Ozzy Albies. Right.
Yeah, but
we'll go Wong now.
Yeah, well, because we're talking strictly defensively.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at defense right
and
now.
At first base, it's probably Paul Goldschmidt, right?
Rizzo, Olsen.
In my head, I had Rizzo.
Olsen came to mind first for me.
But now
Nick, you want to check that out?
Yeah, I'm going to look at first base. What are your guesses?
My guess was Goldschmidt.
Olsen.
I had Rizzo. And it is... Matt Olson is first, Anthony Rizzo second.
Where's Goldschmidt? Hmm.
Goldschmidt is eighth.
He might have slowed down, right? Because remember, he was Gold Glove. How many Gold Gloves does he have?
I can look that up right now.
Three-time Gold Glover.
Three-time.
That is true. Yeah. They had Christian Walker third, Carlos Santana fourth, Brandon Belt fifth, Joey Votto sixth, CJ Cron seventh, Paul Goldschmidt eighth. Freddie Freeman.
Who won the
13th.
Silver Slugger this year? At first base.
God, I can never remember the Silver Sluggers.
Looking right now.
People never really talk about Silver Sluggers.
No, they don't.
Carlos Santana for the AL.
Oh,
Freddie Freeman for the NL.
It's usually Freddie Freeman in the NL.
Goldschmidt won it in 2013, 2015, 17, and 18.
Anyone know Hank Aaron Award?
Prince Fielder won it in 2011.
I love that.
Oh, boy.
In 2007.
Did you guys see that stat that I texted you?
Yeah, him and his dad.
Yeah, they finished with the Prince Fielder and Cecil Fielder finished with the exact same amount of home runs.
Good pronunciation of Cecil as A1.
Thank you.
Oh, if we want to move on, I have a question for you guys.
Lay it on me.
Sure.
That we didn't review the movie.
Oh, wait. Actually, let's do that. What'd you guys rate it?
I didn't finish it.
Man, so. I loved it.
I'm right in the middle.
I'm not gonna rate it. I got chills a few times
because I can't. Because it's a good, it's well done, well produced. I didn't care about the story.
You didn't care about the story? They were the ones who invented all the shenanigans in minor league baseball teams. People were hitchhiking to go to tryouts.
Yeah, but I don't.
The tryouts thing got me. That was pretty cool.
That was sick. How about at the end though, when like guys were now disappearing and stuff and going to jail?
Oh yeah, they just subtly threw in that the manager was in a penitentiary for 31 months. I was like, what?
And Reggie disappeared. They don't know where Reggie is.
Like ever?
I googled it. And I couldn't find anything on why he was in a penitentiary.
What's Reggie's last name?
I don't know. He was baller though.
It was very strange to me.
It was so cool. They were just shellacking teams. And like teams that were filled with future Hall of Famers.
They beat up affiliated teams so bad that they kicked them out of the league.
What was my favorite part, though? I laughed out loud at a few things.
Baseball Prospectus said the battered, I hate this freaking name. The Battered Bastards.
Battered Bastards of Baseball.
They wrote, "The Battered Bastards of Baseball is not good."
What? Yeah. Why? Why do they think that?
That's mean.
I don't know. I don't have time to read the whole article.
I bought a hat instantly after watching it.
I knew you would.
That logo wasn't bad.
Reggie Thomas. Hold on. Reggie Thomas.
A left-handed catcher. The Yankee pitcher who
came down.
The left-handed
catcher was pretty cool.
That was, he was funny.
I don't think I should be in the Hall of Fame, but my glove should be.
Yeah. What was that guy's name? Boutin? Jim Boutin. I tried to read his memoir.
So Reggie Thomas was the very last player taken in the main portion of the 1965 amateur draft. He was selected by the Houston Astros as the only player taken in the 72nd round. He forged an 11-year minor league career. He died in 1980 at 34.
However, I think that's when he went missing.
Other sources say he supposedly, acting as an FBI informant, went missing.
Huh. Well, that's something.
See, that's what we need a documentary about.
Well, I mean, if he's an FBI informant, there's going to be no documentaries on him for a while.
All right. But what was your question, Nick, that you were going to...
So...
Switching topics entirely.
I was watching Phil Hughes' latest video.
Okay.
And he said that some people think Austin Meadows is better than Ronald Acuña Jr. And I got to thinking that might not be all that wrong.
No, it's. I don't think it is all that wrong.
So who would you guys rather
have? Wait, who?
Austin Meadows or Ronald Acuña Jr.?
I mean... Acuña's got more speed, I think.
Anyone who's a 40-40 candidate. Center fielder, leadoff.
He's a right fielder.
Acuña?
Yeah.
He's a center fielder.
He can play everywhere.
He usually plays right, I think.
I thought he usually played center, but he can play both. You know what? I have their stats up right now. Last year, he played 100 games in center, 46 in left, 35 in right.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Austin Meadows, I think, is underrated.
Meadows ain't bad. He is very underrated.
Yes. I think that's what happens when you play for Tampa. That's what happens.
Yeah, I'm still taking Acuña flat out.
And I can't blame you, but like I there's an argument to be made.
I mean, the OPS plus doesn't look good for this year's comparison. 122 for Acuña to 143 for Meadows.
Yep.
But I'm still taking Acuña.
Acuña had 143 overall the year before.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the Pirates made that horrible trade.
It's so funny.
That's such a bad trade.
It's such a horrible trade.
Chris Archer.
For
Tyler Glasnow.
And Austin Meadows.
Where were those two ranked in the prospect list when they were traded?
That's a good question. I'm going to look up like an original article on that trade.
Maybe
happened.
We can't blame them.
I think I think they were rated highly.
They were rated highly because they were very good.
Meadows had already played in the majors.
The Pirates' Chris Archer trade is amazing and infuriating at the same time, is an article that was written August 1st, 2018 by Alex Kirshner. Hold on, let me find...
All right, while you do that, this is who they thought they were getting. The Pirates thought they were getting a pitcher coming off of a 10-12 season... of 201 innings the last two seasons, led the league in losses in 2016 with 19, hadn't ever won more than 12 games. The prior two ERA pluses were 103 and 100 respectively. Good big strikeout numbers, huge home run numbers. Guy, it's not like he was that good. He was He was barely a number one.
Okay.
They were not trading for an ace.
In exchange,
but they thought they were. Okay.
In exchange.
Yeah.
Wait, let me. In exchange for the nominal staff ace, the Rays are extracting real value from Pittsburgh. Austin Meadows, this is what they said back then, is an outfielder who hasn't torn the cover off the ball in AAA, but looked great in his few weeks of Major League's action last year. Tyler Glasnow is a fireballer who's bad now, but could be great later. Both are former top prospects and cheap, with loads of potential, at just 23 and 24 years old. So, that's what they...
So, it doesn't sound... Uh-oh. Okay. 2017 MLB prospect list for the Pirates. Number one. Number one prospect, Austin Meadows.
Where was Glasnow?
They knew he was good. I am not seeing Glasnow on the top 30 list.
Well, I mean, that goes hand in hand with what Austin read.
Yeah.
Now
Glasnow was throwing hard, but he probably had some control issues.
Then he comes in with the Rays and puts up Cy Young numbers while he was while he was healthy.
Until he got
hurt. He was their best pitcher last year if he played a full season.
I think he was their best pitcher even without the full season.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was scary.
He pitched in the ALDS, right?
Yes.
Had a 1.78 ERA last year.
It's pretty good.
Part of the reason rumors spread about the Pirates trading Andrew McCutchen last year, so 2016, was because Meadows was nearly ready. So they were ready to replace their MVP center fielder with him, and then they traded him for Chris Archer.
Speaking about another bad trade, wasn't that a horrible trade for them also?
What, trading away McCutchen?
Who did they get for McCutchen? If I'm not wrong, like, that was a bad trade also.
Let's see. If this wants to load.
Giants trade.
Here we go. The Giants reaffirmed their win-now approach with Monday's acquisition of Andrew McCutchen, while the Pirates maintain their focus on the future by trading the popular outfielder for right-hander Kyle Crick and outfield prospect Brian Reynolds.
Brian Reynolds... That's a W.
But yeah, Brian Reynolds isn't bad.
Is he an MVP?
I think Kyle Crick's good, too.
Kyle Crick got in the fight with, Felipe
Vasquez?
Yeah. That's who he is. Did. All right, that's why I remember his name. He's not good.
We're big Crick guys, though.
That's why I said his name with a little, can't remember the word.
Zest.
I said his name the way it, there it is. That's good.
A little bit of zest. A little bit of pizzazz.
God.
Hold on, we have.
I remember when the Giants were supposed to be really good.
Well, and they could have maintained that, but instead they were like, you know what? Let's get older.
Yeah, they wanted to get every old player.
McCutchen and Longoria.
Man, that's too bad about Longoria, though.
I'm just happy they took him out of the AL East.
That killed Longoria.
Yeah.
I'm happy he was out of the AL East.
He was
that
Yankee
man
killer.
Destroyed the Yankees.
Oh my God!
It's tough to go to San Francisco. It's just not a home run ballpark.
It's especially different when it's Tampa Bay to San Francisco.
You're moving
across
the country, like literally end to end of the country.
Yeah.
Playing with a bunch of older players.
16
now.
Homers, 20 homers.
You were the face of the Rays, and now you're you're with the Giants now.
Dude, no one hit more than 60. Yeah, so we had a bad year, right? Only 16 home runs in 2018. Led the team in homers. Like, it's just, you just don't hit home runs there.
Led the team with 16.
Unless you're Max Muncy.
Or Barry frickin' Bonds. Barry Lamar Bonds.
Hey, I mean, you don't want Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame, though.
Nope, cheated.
So, Tim, can you update us on the bracket that finished?
So this one ended with some contention.
It did, and I thought it was going to be a blowout.
So See, I didn't really care who won either way. I voted for Derek Jeter on one of my accounts, and I voted for Babe Ruth on the other.
So technically, you finished, didn't vote.
Yeah, I didn't even vote. Derek Jeter got 54% of the vote, and Babe Ruth got 40% out of 61 votes, which is a pretty good total. But some people are like, WTF, or LOL, or how did this happen? I'm like, well, I mean...
You voted for it.
I really didn't matter either way. It didn't really matter to me.
Yeah, because you voted for both.
But, I mean, are you... If you wanted Babe Ruth, would you be shocked if Derek Jeter won?
No.
No.
I honestly would have been...
not surprised by this result at all.
I honestly would have been shocked if... I would have been shocked if Ruth won. Not like I would have been pissed.
Me too,
I just would have been shocked by it.
I thought Derek Jeter was going to win the whole thing no matter what. No matter who came out of the...
Yeah, I thought Jeter was going to win.
Jeter was taking the cake.
I think we all said, like, while we were seeding it, it's like, it doesn't really matter. Jeter's going to win it anyway.
I'm going to tweet, let's just see. ... Derek Jeter, Lou Gehrig. And then I'll also do Derek Jeter and... Yogi Berra.
I love Yogi Berra so much. No one goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Just such a great saying. But, Tim, you brought up the idea of naming our favorite Derek Jeter memories since you won.
Yeah, or just anything about Derek Jeter. First thing that comes to your mind, anything? Anything you want to say about him? He's still alive, but we can still remember.
I was like, what are we drinking? Given, like, a memorial? I think the flip is probably the most impressive play I've ever seen. Is anyone going to say anything?
I mean, I don't know. It kind of looks safe to me.
Do you agree with me, or
wait, so
disagree?
Do you think he was safe?
A little bit, yeah.
No, he was not safe.
It's really close.
If he slides, he's safe.
Yeah, if he slides, he's
but
safe,
he didn't,
but he didn't
so
slide,
he's not.
And he's not safe. What an idiot,
How do you not slide there? Dude, come on.
Because there's no one telling him to get down.
Well, then go down.
Dude. You're right. You're running down the third baseline. You see the catcher getting ready to catch the ball. You slide, man.
When I played, I slid the majority of the time just in case.
I hated sliding.
I loved sliding. That was my favorite part.
I love it. I don't like head first sliding.
I never head first slid.
Not a fan of head first sliding. I did it once. I did it incorrectly, and I knocked the air out of myself. Feet first all day.
It's
I got
also
a nice pop-up slide when I do it.
First.
I got a nice pop-up slide. I'll do that every time.
Speaking of a nice pop-up slide, Tyler Wade has a hell of a pop-up slide.
He's fast. He needs to.
He's really good at it.
Tim, what's your Derek Jeter thing?
His jump throw. Just in general.
It is
it's beautiful,
it's a
isn't
beauty.
It?
I mean, we just in the backyard, but giving each other ground balls, do a Derek Jeter backhand, throw it to first, over and over and over again.
Yeah. Nick, what's yours?
I couldn't really pick one thing that he does because it's all amazing because he's Derek Jeter. He's my favorite baseball player of all time.
Yeah, you hate numbering things. But...
You didn't number yours. What are you talking about?
I said
I couldn't pick one.
Whatever, go ahead.
So, one of my favorite moments that has to do with him was that I was at my grandparents' house in 2011, and I was watching the Yankee game, and Derek Jeter was like one off of 3,000. And my dad came to pick me up, and I'm like, Dad, we got to go home really quick. We got to stay here because he might hit 3,000, and I don't want to miss it. My dad drove the fastest home he had ever driven home from my grandparents' house, and he's a Mets fan, so I was like, yes, nice.
Your dad's a Mets fan.
Yeah, he is.
Wow, okay. Development. Character development.
Well, I converted him, so he roots for the Yankees now. The Mets are still in his heart, but
he's a fake fan. Yankees. Okay.
No, he just appreciates the Yankees teams.
Okay.
So we get home. I turn on the TV. The next pitch I see, he hits his 3,000th with the home run, and I went nuts. And it's just awesome.
Off of David Price.
Yeah, loser.
That's because we hit David Price.
David Price? You mean Gary Sanchez's son?
Honestly.
He played Fortnite so much so he couldn't pitch against Gary Sanchez?
I was never a Fortnite guy. Ever. Are you guys gone? It sounds like you guys are gone.
Austin's back.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys left. I didn't leave.
We were both here. You left.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we're all here now.
Yes, and we have to end the episode, so we're all going to leave now.
all right.
So, thank you guys for listening. Oh, Nick, it's your turn to pick a movie.
Oh, yeah. So, the movie I picked is called Hope One in a Billion. It's the story about Gift Ngepe, the first African to play for Major League Baseball.
I like this. Okay.
And it's on Netflix, and it's an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
Hope in a Billion. Gift Ngepe. I love this guy. I saw his brother play in Batavia.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
So thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you next episode, and go Yankees.
Rip JT Wilbur. What's his name?
Watkins.
Watkins.
And Garrett Cole is indeed a New York Yankee.
Elevator going up. In the gleaming corridor of the 51st floor. The money can be made if you really want some more. Executive decision, a clinical precision. Jumping from the windows filled with indecision. I get good advice from the iPhone.